phone, on the new Sports Hub app,
and on your computer.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We're at the Town Fair Tire Studios. Adam Jones filling in for Fred. And this lawsuit from the New Orleans Saints cheerleaders is pretty wild. And she obviously has a great case. I mean, there's a different set of standards for her than for other people. But one of the stranger rules is that if she is eating at a restaurant and a member of the New Orleans Saints comes in, she immediately has to get up and leave or she will be fired. And if she walks into an establishment and sees someone from the Saints there, she has to leave wherever she's going.
She needs to get a doggy bag right away. Get out mid-steak.
Yes.
Walk out of there.
And you are done. So it reminded me of some of the dumb rules that I've worked that could get you fired. And one of them was, I worked at a video store. It was, you can't grow a beard. You can't grow any facial hair. You either have a beard or you don't. And if you want to grow, and it's in the handbook, you have to do it while you're on vacation.
Who owned Blockbuster? Was it George Steinbrenner that owned Blockbuster? You're not.
Huizinga, right?
No, well, I think it was Huizinga.
Okay, so it was a very odd rule, but let's get to, some people are calling it with some of the things. Somebody, by the way, said, I worked at a hotel and the manager demanded a 10-5 rule when on property with anyone. 10 feet, make eye contact, and 5 feet, say hello, and he would test people all the time.
Weird.
That is strange. All right, let's go to Carl. Carl, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, yeah, so I used to work at a restaurant, kind of similar rules to you at a Blockbuster, and I have a pretty dark 5 o'clock shadow to begin with, so I would shave before my evening shift. And so I shaved one afternoon, and sometimes even when you shave, its dark shadow gets darker, but it's completely shaved. So I show up, and the manager is like, excuse me, you didn't shave today. And I said, yes, I did, about half an hour ago. So he goes, hold on a second. He goes back. It's one of those little single-edge disposable razors. And makes me go to the bathroom at the restaurant and shave again. And so you can imagine what happens. I come out with, you know, blood spots all over my neck and my face. And I'm like, and now you want me to wait tables bleeding all over them?
Did you get a free day off? Like, did he say, no, you got to go home now? Or did he make you go out there and do it?
No, he made me go out and wash my face and try and clean it up. And I had to put a little piece of paper all over my face.
Yeah, hand you one of those really styptic pencils, those little things of chalk.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah.
Chalk that sucker up and get out there and serve. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, because that's the thing, too, is, you know, what if you were a guy who uses an electric razor? Yep. And, you know, because if you go from like electric to a regular one, you're going to nick up your face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, your entire face is conditioned to one thing or the other. So it's like, no, use this to get it out of there. Let's go.
A little blood in the food. It'll toughen everybody out there up.
That's always nice. I once worked at a fast food restaurant, and I accidentally got I got a nosebleed. And so I went into the bathroom, you know, immediately once I saw it was there, because I didn't want anyone to be preparing food with a nosebleed. So I went into the restroom, and I started cleaning my face off. And we didn't have a mirror in the bathroom. Like, for some reason, this place was way too cheap, and I thought I got it all, and I came walking out and started making sandwiches, and people were just, like, disgusted. Like, is that blood? Like, a guy with a bloody face is making a sandwich for him. It's always nice and hygienic. David, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Hey.
When I was in active duty Marine Corps, we'd always get briefed on Friday afternoons, especially in the summertime, that if we were going to go out to the beach or do sports activities outside, we were specifically told we had to wear suntan lotion, and if we had any sunburns that were considered bad, we can get in trouble because we were considered government property.
Well, you know, for some weird reason, I actually get that. Like, because you work in an industry where, like, lives are on the line. It's the military. I think almost there's like a different set of rules than, oh, being somebody who is a cheerleader or somebody who's giving you videotapes at a video store. Like, I mean, maybe there's some sort of reason that...
It's a weird place to draw the line, but right, there might be...
Right, there might be some sort of relay. With the military, I think it's probably something different. All right, Kyle, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys, good morning.
Hey.
So I work for a nationwide construction company, and they're going around from office to office and upgrading all the fleets. So we all got some really nice new trucks. Some of them were even, you know, the Mercedes vans. And even though it says specifically when you open up the gas can on the, you know, on the cover there, it says use mid-grade or above. They were terminating people for using mid-grade or above even though it said right there on your brand new Mercedes to use mid-grade or above, they made you use regular unleaded. And if they saw any transaction on your company gas card for mid-grade or above, they terminated you right away.
You get fired for using the wrong brand of gas. That is
even though it says right on the gas cap.
Right, it's
you
the
have
right.
To use this.
It's the
you know,
right.
You go out and spend $70,000 on a brand new vehicle. You think you want to put some decent gas into it to, I don't know, maybe you know make your investment last a little longer, but I guess not.
I want some. Rented a
you got to save 10 cents on a gallon.
I once rented a moving truck, and I went to the gas station. I filled it up, and as I was bringing it back, it was about like a 5 mile drive, and I realized that behind me, I'm like, what's this massive black cloud of smoke? Why is just everything behind me, and why is this huge cloud? I'm like, oh, it's probably coming from me. Ah, something must be wrong with the truck. And when I pull it in, I go inside, give the guy the keys, and he goes, you filled it up with diesel, right? And I went, yep,
I did.
It was diesel, and not diesel 87 unleaded. And so I guess I was, I ruined a truck. Let's go to Brian. What's up, man?
Yeah, so my dad was probably like 65, and he decided that he had too much free time on his hands, so he was going to work at McDonald's. And they had like a 19-year-old kid who was his boss, and my dad kept eating the fries while he was working.
You can't.
The kid said, hey, old man, you can't eat the fries while you're working. He said, there's enough fries for everybody.
So what happened to your dad?
What's that?
So what happened to your dad?
Oh, he got fired.
I mean, listen, I can't blame the good people at McDonald's for firing someone who's just eating fries, whether it was your dad or not.
That's like the image of an old man in a little McDonald's outfit.
There's plenty for everyone.
Just eating all the French fries.
Where's the apple pies? Ray, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich. Ray, what's up?
Hey there. Yeah, I was applying for a job at a sporting goods store. And when I turned in my application, I was speaking to the manager. He said, well, I noticed you have a beard. Just so you know, you can only have a mustache. I look around, and all the associates there have porn mustaches.
So again, there's a rule in the book that stashes are fine, but no beards. What industry is this?
It's like the Yankees. It's like you work for the Yankees.
Yeah, it was a sporting goods store back in Colorado, so that might explain some of it.
Yeah, that is... What's the reasoning in that? Like, I can't even figure out, like, if it was, like, food prep and hair. Why just a mustache?
It's like the look.
I guess so.
Just want to convey a certain image.
The sexiest sporting goods store. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, how we doing?
Hey.
So I got my brother a job at a local auto parts store, and they have a rule where you have to hit what they call DPT, which is dollars per transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a workplace injury where he actually had to be taken away in an ambulance, and he was still issued a warning for that day because he didn't hit his dollars per transaction, even though he wasn't there because he was taken away in an ambulance.
Now, obviously that was a mistake, right? And they went and corrected it, or they continue to go through with any kind of punishment?
Nope, that was still on his record.
Well, that's ridiculous. By the way, there is somebody who I've heard this a lot. They said, I worked for a retailer that sent out a memo stating that even if we were over 21, we could not be seen with alcohol in any photos or video on social media. And if we did, it was our final written warning before termination. It's a retailer and you're over 21 and you can't have a picture. First of all, I don't think anybody has a right to tell you what you can and put on social media. Now, all of that being said, if I was somebody who, let's say, worked in sales for a big company or whatever, and I was going out and meeting people, I mean, how often do you think some of these people go and say, all right, let's see if I can trust this person? And they Google their name and they check on their profile and they go, okay, well, this person is obviously doing nefarious activities.
This person's no
not
good.
Drinking or whatever. But like, so if I was someone like that, I'd watch what I put up there. But drinking alcohol, if you're over 21, and there's a lot of companies that do that. Like they think that they have a right to your social media. Now, you could do something that could affect your business, and I think that's stupid. Matter of fact, I mean, there's a lot of times I say to myself, if I wasn't in radio and like we had our, you know, job to essentially market our show and things like that, I'd probably be off social media. Like there's a lot of things I wouldn't do. I wouldn't need, I mean, what do I want to, what is Facebook for? Do I really want to see my old friends from high school arguing about Stormy Daniels? No, would I miss out on that? I guess I possibly would.
Right.
I got in a fight with my mom last night.
Really?
Yeah, I did meet
you. What side is your mom on?
Over Stormy?
We're kind of on different sides of, we used to be right on the same political spectrum, but she went way one way and I kind of went a little bit the other way.
I think I understand, yes.
Yeah, so
I know, but
we see eye to eye to a lot of things.
What was the argument over?
It was about
Facebook. Stormy.
It started with Stormy and it turned into other things.
Russian diplomats.
Okay. It was just one of those things I was like, I usually try to resist, but it was like, God, she is so wrong on this. So irresistibly
wrong. That always
wrong.
Works out well.
I can cure this with two words. And before I know it, I'm still sitting on the John and I press send. I'm like,
gotcha.
Next time I see her, it's going to be awkward.
Yeah.
But then again, so. And then we, you know, made up via text. So, because that's how you do it like a real man. 617-779-0985. Greg Bedard is still hot and heavy with Mr. Bill Belichick.
We should ask Bedard if he has any weird policies at Boston Sports Journal.
Oh, that's a good point.
Any facial hair policies?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, McAdam is out if there's facial hair policies.
Good point.
Boy, yeah. Hey, listen, you know, when you got a beard that sexy, you ain't shaving that sucker. All right, so we'll talk to Greg Bedard, hopefully, if he's wrapped things up with Bill Belichick right after the CBS Sports Minute.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny. You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Ah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 is Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones filling in for Fred this morning. It is indeed Orange Juice Day, the day that usually Bill Belichick absolutely despises. But this morning he showed up, albeit 25 minutes late, did not sit down. He did it all standing up. And this is on the heels of his big Sunday, hey, you know what, local media, come on over here. Let's have a little powwow and just kind of bust your chops a little bit. He was in a very good mood. I am not used to this. But a guy who just got done speaking with Bill Belichick from the Boston Sports Journal, which, by the way, I recommend you get a membership to. Excellent, excellent publication. Our good friend Greg Bedard. Greg, how are you liking the kinder, gentler Bill Belichick we've been getting as of late?
It's a little disjarring. Like, I'm not sure, you know, what to do with it. I'm not sure where it's coming from or how long it's going to last, but I'm on board. I'm riding it. I want to ride the Bill train.
You see, I don't want, and as a journalist, you know, and someone who covers the team, I would like it because he's actually telling you guys something. But
I wouldn't go too far.
Okay, all right. Well, to be quite honest, I've not heard what he just said, but all I know is that he's the only guy in all of sports, I think, that I just want to be a contest. I want him to be get your shine box guy because to me, it's fun. It's like gladiator game seeing him try to answer these questions.
Well, yeah. And what's funny, you know, it used to be orange juice. Today, it was water. I don't know if this is he's on the hydration thing.
Mm.
You know, he came in and they had let us know, like, he doesn't want to sit at the table. So then they put us in a corner and we waited for another 15 minutes. Then he walked in and he stopped and he was like surveying the situation. I was like, he's just going to bail. But you know, somebody brought him a water. He had some water for a bit and then he came over and, you know, it was a fine conversation. But I mean, you know, to be honest, when I get done with those things with Belichick, I have a hard time even remembering, like, what he said because you talk about the shine box moment.
Yeah.
Like, really? I don't know if the other reporters are like this, but pretty much all I'm doing the whole time is, like, okay, what question am I going to ask? How am I going to phrase it so he just doesn't slap me down and I'm embarrassed by the whole thing?
right. And you know what? To put in perspective for some people who might not remember how he usually acts at this breakfast with Bill Belichick thing that they do at the owners' meeting. I mean, this might be like his alt when he's at his saltiest, is it not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we've gotten responses in the past like, you know, are you seriously asking that question? you know, stuff like that. And today I asked a question like that. You know, but I have a good relationship with Bill, so he doesn't usually do that to me. But I did ask him about Brady's contract. I did ask him. I said, Brady's got 2 years left on his deal. You know, have there been any talks? Do you need to do anything to his contract considering your current cap situation? And, you know, he just said, Greg, you know, I'm not going to talk about, you know, contracts or anything like that. So, you know, he was nice about it.
Yeah.
You know, dismissed it.
Okay, before we get into the specifics of what he actually talked about, in all honesty, why do you think the change of personality? Do you think it has anything to do with the reports that have come out about there being, you know, tension and maybe people are worried about legacies. Maybe he's thinking about the end of his career. Can you fathom any explanation as to why the personality changes happened over the past couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's a, you know, it's a guy who's had his battery recharged since the end of the season. I think with, you know, some of the reports that surfaced over the course of the season, you know, I think that, you know, maybe he wants to put a better face on some of that stuff. But, you know, I think that in, you know, short order, we'll have old Bill back and all will be right in Patriots land.
Right. It's very short lived. I could see that, too. And I hope so, because I miss it. But that's a good question about Tom Brady and why they haven't, you know, renegotiated the contract, give him more money. What do you think is going on there? And why have we not heard of any kind of movement or has not been any announcement of anything new going on with Tom Brady and his status?
Well, the way that I understand it is that, you know, as part of this whole thing, I mean, and really, Tom's contract is usually done last offseason. You know, sort of, you know, he's at a current level for this past year, which was, I think it was 14, 15 million under the, on the cap, and which is his normal range. And then all of a sudden it's jumped to 22 these 2 years. And, you know, I think that there was a bit of a disconnect, or at least maybe just seeing things differently, where Tom Brady looked at it and said, you know, look, I'm playing for 4 or 5 more years. I keep saying it. You know, that reflects that and gives me a little bit of security. And so I know that, you know, I'm going to continue to be the quarterback. And this is when Garoppolo was still on the roster. And I don't think there was much interest on the other side to do that, just because, look, I mean, Tom Brady's 40, 41. I mean, Belichick doesn't know when the end is coming. Nobody does. I mean, we're in uncharted waters, basically, at the quarterback position. And so I think Bill was looking at it as like, let's just push off the decision as long as possible. And I think, you know, from the way I understand it, because, you know, the team wasn't reciprocating the Brady's desire to extend his contract, that, you know, Brady is sort of hitting back and not in a hurry to do his contract. But I think at the end of the day, I think before the season, I think something gets done and a couple of years gets tacked on, because that's normally what happens.
So today was Bill Belichick Orange Juice Day. Yesterday, Robert Kraft spoke. What jumped out from Robert, whether it was about specifics on Bill and his decision on Malcolm Butler? I know he confirmed that he and Tom and Bill all had a sit down. What jumped out from Kraft yesterday?
Well, Adam, you know, a couple different things. You know, I thought that it was interesting that he sort of scoffed at the word tension when he said before the Super Bowl that we have tension. And he talked about creative tension. He thinks that's good, but he sort of scoffed at the word. You know, I think that, you know, as far as the whole, and Kraft is the one who said, called it, you know, the meeting. We had the meeting. There were no specifics. Like, I mean, you know, if,
right, like, how did it go? Like, you had a meeting. Okay, so was it good? Was it bad? Like, what happened?
Right, and I don't even need to hear that much. Like, I think, you know, if things were really good between everybody and they were on 18, you know, I think Kraft would have said, we had the meeting. I feel confident that everybody's on the same page and we're looking forward to the next season. But we didn't even hear that. And so that makes you wonder just, you know, how good things are behind the scenes, if everything is hashed out. And from what I hear, it's not, but, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, it's going to be a long off season.
There's a very good article that was at Boston Sports Journal. I don't remember if it was you or Chris Price who wrote it, but it was about the Odell Beckham situation. Everyone, you know, whenever, I was saying this yesterday, whenever any kind of world player sounds like he might be available, everyone immediately goes, how do we get him on the Patriots?
Right.
But there is that realistic scenario, at least as far as being able to trade for him, the whole Brandon Cooks thing and some picks to make up for it. But what's your opinion on Odell Beckham Jr. and the possibility of him actually being a Patriot? Like, how much of a reality is that?
Yeah, Chris wrote that. You know, I don't rule anything out with the Patriots, but in my mind, I have a tough time seeing that. I mean, look, have they had guys with issues from other clubs before and they've worked, some have worked, some have not worked. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, Odell, in my mind, his age, he's just a whole different thing. And remember, Belichick has talked about, you know, I'm at the stage in my career where basically, you know, I want to coach the players that I like to coach. Mm-hmm. And I just, that is a lot of trouble and a lot of hand-holding. And I don't know if they could bring him into the fold and he could fall in line. I mean, I think there's too many question marks there, and so I would be surprised if that happened.
Oh, it would be so great, Greg, not only because of the talent that he has and, you know, watching him and Brady would be fun, but, you know, if there is indeed chaos within the Patriots organization, if they went down, talk about going down in flames.
That's a big hand grenade right in the middle of things.
I mean, that would just be, what a spectacular way to blow it all up is to have him come in there and just ruin everything.
Final year and everybody leaves after it's over.
Oh, he's in the end zone peeing like a dog. Yeah. Tell me that wouldn't be phenomenal, just at least for your job.
Oh, it would definitely be entertaining, especially, you know, for you guys. And you know, talking to people here at the league meetings, like, people actually think that the Rams are almost setting up to be that kind of team this year. And I don't know whether there was some talk about them with Beckham. I don't know if that's still the case after signing Sue. But, you know, between Sue, Marcus Peters, and Aqib Talib.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Great defense in theory, though, Greg.
I mean, it's already one. Yes. Well, of course it is, but I mean, it's already
also a long rap sheet in theory.
Of course. That's not even in theory.
And a young coach who hasn't experienced, like, having to handle that. I mean, as much as I like the guy, that is a potential awesomely combustible situation.
Yes, I wish they would be Hard Knocks. I don't think they can, because they went to the playoffs last year.
They also just did it. Yeah. So I mean, that would be
that would be a good Hard
amazing
Knocks
to watch if that would happen. But we'll see. I like that Rams team anyway. I mean, they're already fun to watch. But if they did that, I want to see everything. Post game press conferences. I'm all in. I'm buying whatever package it is at Rams.com. All right. So Greg, thanks a bunch, man, from the BostonSportsJournal.com. Appreciate you calling in, especially right after the press conference.
No problem. Thanks,
all right, see you, man. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah. So Bill Belichick, from everything I'm hearing, didn't really say much. He was smiling.
That's more the Tom Brady way of doing things. Belichick and Brady are almost exactly alike, except Brady does it in a nice tone with a smile on his face. You don't learn anything from either guy.
Well, of course.
And that's what Belichick is essentially doing at this point.
One is a pro as far as making you feel like you actually learned something when you didn't. That is Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He smiles. He says your name. It's almost like that thing that people said that... if you ever read that book, Primary Colors, that Bill Clinton had.
Clinton was a master at it.
He was a master at it. He would shake your hand. He would hold a little bit extra. And I heard that even, like, you know, Tom Cruise was a master. It's like a Scientology almost technique where he looks in your eyes, he uses your name, makes you feel like you're the most important person in the world. And you're a reporter and you walk away and you look at your notepad, you ain't got nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even though you feel like he gave you everything. Whereas Bill Belichick, there's no bones about it.
He hasn't cared in the past to do that. He didn't care. So I'm a Hall of Fame head coach.
Even Bedard admits, this is weird. Kinder, happier Belichick is very strange. All right.
Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and we have Adam Jones filling in for Fred this morning, and I want to send a quick thanks to WBZ. They did a really nice special on my wife, who is running the Boston Marathon this year. 5 years ago, she was diagnosed with leukemia. She relapsed twice, so she had cancer 3 times, and the people at Dana-Farber saved her life. I mean, they basically... I can't say enough great things about them. If you're going to get sick in Boston. This is the place to do it. Best doctors are here. But they came over to our house the other day to film a little bit of the story. So now what she's doing is she's trying to raise money for Dana-Farber. She's running for their team in order to give back. And also it's kind of a personal thing that, you know, you took all this from me and now I'm going to you know, show everyone that I can do this. You know, it's not even everyone, for herself, you know, that she can run a marathon. She was a runner, but she never ran a marathon before. And more than anything, it's to raise money. And it's been crazy because she, during her training, broke her foot, as I told you guys about. And it wasn't training. It was riding a scooter, which right. She'll be the first one to go. I shouldn't have been riding a scooter with my kid. And then because she has a low immunity, she got sick twice. So, I mean, her training has been crazy. So yesterday, she had to film part of the second part of her interview, and it was just the part where they wanted to get some footage of her running. So WBZ says, okay, we're going to meet you at a place in Brookline. There's like a neighborhood that you can run through, and we're going to film you. So she jogs there in the morning. She does part of her marathon warm-up and jogs, you know, several miles to get there, and she meets the people from WBZ. And they're very nice, and they say, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to have you run through this neighborhood, and we're going to follow you around in this van, and we're going to film you. And she goes, okay, that's fine. So she runs down the road, and they say, okay, we're going to get another angle. We're going to follow you back again down the street. They go back and forth down the street probably like 10 times. If I'm someone living there, I'm saying, who is this guy in the van stalking this woman?
Woman being followed by a nondescript van in my neighborhood.
Right. I was just going to say, how much running did she have to do?
She did say it was kind of funny because she said, I ran all of these miles to get there. And she goes, and it was weird because I was stopping and starting over. It was tougher than the actual jog to get there in the first place. But I just was like, if you're in that house, you're seeing a woman getting chased by a van
like,
over and over and not able to get away. And you know, it's like one of those news vans. That it didn't have like the big, I think, Channel 4 on the side of it. It was just like kind of this big, nondescript van.
Yeah, creeper van.
Creeper van. But they did a really good story. And she is raising money to help the good people at Dana-Farber. Anyone who's heard my voice knows somebody who's had cancer before. And a lot of people have known people who've been helped by Dana-Farber. If you would like to donate, I can't think of a better place for the money to go to. I tweeted out the link yesterday to the video, the story. It's at Toucher and Rich. You can go to our Facebook page as well and see it there. I don't know how to get those links up on our Instagram. I don't know how that works. For some reason, I can't do links on Instagram. If somebody knows, you can help me figure it out. But if you would like to donate, please do. It's for a great cause. All right, so 617-779-0985. We're going to have Billy Jaffe on in about 15 minutes. And somebody just tweeted this to me, and they're absolutely right. He goes, is it me or just as the Twitter game by the NHL team has been amazing this year? So the Arizona Coyotes yesterday ended up tweeting a photo of them beating the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it says 4-1. It just says, you're welcome, Boston.
I was just going to say, that is a huge win.
It's a massive
for Phoenix
win.
Because now Tampa is only up 2 points, and the Bruins have 2 games in hand.
Yeah, they're right there.
I didn't think they'd catch them. They're right there. They got a chance.
Now, granted, there's part of me that is the superstitious type that doesn't like the whole President's Trophy and all this kind of stuff, and I know that it's going to be a little out of reach, but
they could pass Tampa.
Very difficult game tonight, though.
President's Trophy.
Very difficult game tonight.
Yeah. Well,
difficult game tonight.
Winnipeg is no joke. Is Winnipeg second? Yeah, I think Golden Knights fell in the third. Okay,
second in the West.
So they're second,
yes.
And they have been sneaky good. So it's going to be another test. It's a fairly late puck drop, right?
8:00.
Oh, 8:00. That's not too bad.
No, it's reasonable.
Yeah, it's reasonable. Okay, so you've got
lovely Winnipeg,
and lovely Winnipeg, of course. But we've been saying this for, 3 months now. They're just finding ways to win, and it's almost shocking that it's a different player stepping up every week, except for Marchand when it's in overtime, and it's always him. But now guys are getting healthy. I don't know what's going on with Nash. Yesterday was the first day that it actually hit me, and there's an article actually in the Boston Globe as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, have we seen Rick Nash's last game with the Boston Bruins? Now, everyone we've spoken to has basically told us, it sounds like everything's going to be okay for the playoffs with everyone.
Haggerty yesterday was like, we don't know specifics, but the way they're talking about it, I feel pretty good. Guys are going to be back, if not right away for the start of the playoffs, mm-hmm. early in the playoffs.
Now, I know we don't have much of a sample size of Rick Nash as a Boston Bruin, but what we have...
It's been great.
It's been great. I mean, every move that Sweeney's made has been a hit. I mean, even like the like Gianta, guys you didn't expect to
even
do anything.
Nick Holden, who with all the injuries to the
Wingles,
defense,
I mean,
proven to be pretty damn good.
He has not struck out, and it's almost kind of shocking and jarring. And I almost don't like how comfortable I feel going into the postseason because everything's lining up so right that we're expecting the doom and gloom. Something bad's going to happen, and maybe that's just me. But it's the most confident I've felt about a Bruins team since 2010, maybe even more than 2010, the year that they lost. I thought they were going to win it all the year.
You were telling me this off that you were very confident in 20 when they blew their 3-0 lead against the Flyers.
I was confident that year.
You were very into them that year.
And then the next year, Do you remember how down everyone was on Claude Julien?
Yeah.
Do you remember how
he was getting, if they lost to Montreal, he got fired.
He was gone.
In December or January, we played Taps. We thought the season was dead.
Yeah.
We thought it was over.
If they lost in that first round to Montreal, he would have lost his job.
10, I felt very good. 11, not nearly so. Now, I mean, I knew that they obviously had a puncher's chance, but you have to understand and relive that 2011 postseason. That was probably the most physically sick I've been watching any kind of playoff run. The tension that came in those three game sevens, which was ridiculous.
Real quick, that first run, was that the series where they lost the first two and then Chara got sick and couldn't play in game two?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and you're and boy, was game seven in overtime?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, it was Horton, right?
I think it was Horton. Boy, was it Horton or Ryder? Ah, I got to go. It's weird.
No,
whenever
Ryder made that save behind Tim Thomas.
Oh, that's right. You see, when I go back and live that, it's my favorite playoff run of any team that I've seen. It was the way that they won it all, and the way that the Vancouver thing went. Because remember what we were all saying going into the Vancouver series, like it's tough to hate these guys. Who really knows anything about them? And then you had the biting of the finger,
and then you had
them like joking about it to my brother, the vegetarian.
That was Sedin. Longo and the tire pump.
Oh man, and you hated those bastards by the time it was all done and over with.
Yeah, and then we found out that most hockey fans out there hate Vancouver as well.
But yeah, and so then Longo gets pulled. And how great that was, and how humiliating, and the pump your tongue. I mean, it had everything. That playoff run had absolutely everything, and I didn't feel nearly as confident with that team as I do with this one. And maybe I'm setting myself up for disappointment. I don't know.
No, they've been an absolute wagon for 3-4 months. I mean, whatever it's been now, I've lost track. Outside of the first 2 months of the year, they're rolling over teams. Mm-hmm. Like, They're 47, and if you're just counting losses now, don't split up losses and overtime losses. They're 47-27 on the year.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they're nowhere near 500. Like, nowhere near it.
Yeah.
Half the league's 500. Half the league's below 500.
Yeah.
And they roll over everyone.
Right,
so, I mean, what are they? Best goal differential? Second best goal differential? They're tied for the best goal differential.
And now you got
league.
Tuukka Rask playing well, too. I mean, it's like, this is, everything's lining up just the right way that I'm almost getting a little too nervous. But either way, I still think, and I said it the other day, I think that they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I'm with Joe Haggerty, so I mean, you can kill me for that. But I don't think that's really going on a limb now. We've gotten to a point where that's not going out a limb to say that this team, you've seen how they've played against the competition in the East, and going up against the Lightning, they match up very well. And I think that anyone who saw that last game where they blanked them, what more do you need to go, all right, at least in a seven-game series, and the way they're going to pull things out of their ass.
You got to see them come back against Carolina.
Well, yes. I mean, that was awesome. I mean, it has been one of the more fun rides during the regular season, and it's kind of interesting. With the Red Sox starting on Thursday, this happens almost every year. Like, I have a hard time getting into baseball until hockey season's over.
Sure. So, yes, but this year is not just about that. Like, every year it's like, oh, okay, well, hockey, the Stanley Cup playoffs are about to start. NBA playoffs are right around the corner. Mm-hmm. That's not just what's going on. This Red Sox team is just very blah. You know, it's
personality
not,
wise.
Yeah,
talent wise, they're better than I think anyone's giving them credit
it's
for.
It's not just about, oh, well, I'll focus on the playoffs. It's that there's an actual disinterest with this Red Sox team, I think.
Well, sure. I mean, and on top of that, on the other side of things, the Bruins team is about the most likable Bruins
Correct.
Team that I can remember.
Yeah.
I mean, the personalities, the players, the way that they play, the grit, the veterans mixed with the young guys. I mean, it's
style,
like,
style of play is fun to watch.
Style of play. I mean, it's everything you want in a hockey team.
And well, they're the favorites, yet they're the underdogs on both sides. I mean, Celtics, too. Well, all the injuries and the guys that are there are so overperforming. I mean, no one expected this from the Bruins with all their injuries. No one expected this from the Celtics with all their injuries over the last 3 weeks. Red Sox have the biggest payroll in Major League Baseball by $20 million, and they don't have a huge personality on the roster.
All right, we'll get to Billy Jaffe. He'll talk Bruins here in just a moment. Right after the...
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is weird that Thursday is opening day. And once again, I'm not one of those people who's going to be, you know, down on the Red Sox. There's a lot of that. And I think that a lot of it's unjustified. But for some people, David Price is kind of setting the tone of the way people think of this team. I think that there's a lot more to that. They're way more talented than people are giving them credit for, even me. It's just when you saw how the season started, where Giancarlo Stanton ended up going to the Yankees, like, all right, here we go again. Alex Cora, right now, we don't really know what he's going to be. All I know is that, you know, I liked the guy, you know, as a player, and he's got a little bit of success where he was before, but I don't know how that's going to project with this current group of guys. And I'm not going to write them off. However, it is really, really tough to concentrate on baseball while all of this is going on, especially, as you were saying, not only with the Celtics and what's happening with them. And right now, the seeding with the Celtics is everything, because if they can get past round one, then round two, who knows who's going to be healthy.
Yeah, so that seeding almost doesn't even, it's not, they can't even do anything about it. It's like Philly and Cleveland jockeying behind them.
They're all, by the way, speaking of Philly, did you see Markelle Fultz came back yesterday?
Yes, okay. I did.
So I actually watched the beginning of that game.
Oh, did you? Yeah, the start was bad.
Well, so Markelle Fultz gets in, and they're like, oh, does he have his shot back? And his first shot is
air ball.
Yep. And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding. He ended up being okay.
And he got swatted a couple of times. But no, he's good. He's better as the game went along.
So,
I mean, listen, for his sake, I hope he's back, because there's nothing worse than thinking of a guy who just got wrecked. I mean, because you read the articles about how all these different people were telling him how to shoot, and it just completely ruined him.
Screwed with him, yeah.
And you don't want psychologically someone at 19 years old, you forget he's 19, for it all to be over with. That being said, Danny, once again, genius. You know, it all pays off.
The guy saw it.
Obviously knew. Danny knew
coming.
But here's how you know baseball. And
I mean, we'll see.
Down on Tatum. Sports Vulture is indeed in the house.
I mean, let's just see. I mean, Fultz has played his first game. Let's just see.
No, yeah. It's over. No, we know what they're all going to be. Tatum's the next Steph Curry. We know this. Put it in writing. Okay, so, but one thing it does get me excited, legitimately, for baseball season, is this guy. And this is how you know baseball is almost here.
Oh, Roach is here.
Wow.
Alex Cora calling out Dan Roach.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
Spring has sprung.
I saw him do a stand-up.
Speaking of sprung, I would imagine Roach enjoyed that.
Yeah, he took his shirt off and covered himself in peanut butter.
On the news, the 30 seconds they give him at 6 o'clock, I saw him doing a stand-up in Fort Myers, and he was in his happy place, man.
He's back down there. As a matter of fact,
very happy.
Dan O'Brien asked me yesterday, he goes, do you want to have Roach on tomorrow, being today? And I said, no. We wait for opening day.
Yeah.
I want him on opening day.
Yeah, birds are chirping.
Oh, yeah.
Flowers are blooming.
Give me some Dan Roach. Dan Roach is single-handedly
baseballs
responsible
popping in the mitt
for me getting excited about the baseball season. Because I would have thought it was fine, but he's just talking to him. The guy's got, he's got that thing that gets you, all right, I'm pumped.
You think even he's a little down on the start of the season?
He doesn't like Price. He does not like Price. And for someone who loves that team so much, I know it pains him to call out David Price. I mean, that picture of Dan Roach just sitting there
fantastic
by himself in the stands. I mean, he's in his happy place.